Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, our focus this morning. Patrick Ahern, I can't believe it is a new year. It is a new year, and we get ready for all new shows. This is opening day today at Riverside.
It's like our baseball season.
You know, well, here we go.
Yeah,
the pitchers and catchers are out there, and we're ready to go. 2023, Ted. That's what they tell me.
And it's 25th anniversary for the theater.
There's just too much going on. You know.
And
and I'm getting older, you know, and
not you though. You're not. You still have as much energy, and we got a lot to talk about. But it's amazing that you've gone from the last time we got together, we talked about just the great shows you had last year, and that's last year.
That's it.
Now we move on.
Everybody was like, oh, Christmas, and excited at Christmas. And I had a great kick once Christmas was over, but we still had a week left of the Christmas show. I loved going out in front of the audience. The first thing I said, Christmas is over.
What are you people still doing here?
I hate to put a damper on it. But I said to people, before you know it, you know, we'll be at Christmas next year with Miracle on 34th Street and Jersey Boys coming in. So, it's going to be exciting. 25th anniversary, and we couldn't kick it off with a better show with Escape to Margaritaville. I think our audiences are going to be just delighted. They're going to have a good time. You know, every now and then you need to be able to come to the theater and not have to really think a lot, you know, just enjoy the music, enjoy the charming story with a lovely message and a great set and great cast of singers and actors. And I think this is the bill for this time of year. And
you usually try to do this kind of show, really an escapism kind of show.
Yeah. Well, usually in the theater, especially on Broadway, January, February, March is like death. I mean, you get a lot of two-for-ones, and a lot of shows will close in this period of time if they're not doing well. And but I've learned from actually going back to when we did Buddy Holly, which our other guest here, Robbie Gagneau, is part of. That just was huge for us at Riverside, and everybody told me, when you do that show, just wait. And then, of course, we had such a great Buddy Holly.
It was a great show,
But I learned from that time of year, I think people want to hear some good music and kind of rock out. And so Buddy Holly, Million Dollar Quartet, Mamma Mia, Grease. I mean, those shows are the ones that have actually become some of the biggest sellers that have ever been done in the 25-year history. So why not Margaritaville?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Robbie, welcome. You're directing this, and you've done others at Riverside.
Yeah, this is my second show directing at Riverside. I rode the coattails of that great Buddy Holly to get in here. Buddy Holly and I are good friends. Todd Meredith is a great buddy of mine. And I came in and performed in the show. Thankfully, I had a skill set that could fit into the show, playing some music and acting in that. And Patrick let me come back the following year, direct Million Dollar Quartet.
Which that remains my favorite. I loved it. I loved that show.
Well,
I don't know what it was about it, but it was a fun show.
Great story, simple story, but a great story about these people that we have all grown up with in our lives, that we greatly respect and admire and love the music of. I thought we had some killer performances from those cats. Yeah. They sounded great. And now I get to be back here doing Escape to Margaritaville. I got another great set of cats on stage. Some incredible music from our music director, Carson, and all the performers. Everyone sounds great. And that's what you're here for. Like Patrick was saying, like, it's a ton of fun. Really, really energetic. And I personally, not knowing the show before I came in to do it, was really delighted at the lovely, lovely book that goes along with it. Because, awesome music. Woohoo! It's going to be fun. But it's also a really beautiful story.
So I have seen pictures, thanks to Allison of Riverside. Is there really a dock? Did you really build a dock onto the stage?
Thank you, Christian. Oh, yeah. Christian Fleming, our set designer, built a, we have, you're coming to the tropics to an island bar with us.
I looked at that picture and I thought, that looks like, that's a dock.
Every day I walk in that theater in the morning when I go to work and I say, is the boat in yet?
No, it looks, it fits right there. And I thought, this is what you do at Riverside, though. I mean, the stages are, and the sets are just terrific.
It's interesting to, I always think of we have a proscenium stage, but the stage is like a canvas, you clear everything out and you start fresh, and it's neat to see the different looks, and this is a completely different look from anything we've done, and it's kind of immersive. You feel like you're sitting, by the ocean and relaxing, and especially the people that are sitting on the floor, they're going to feel like they're wading in water.
Right. You're on the beach, my friend.
Wasn't it Buddy Holly that you had a dance floor?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I don't know if there was a dance floor for Million Dollar Quartet.
We didn't end up doing it. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. But yeah.
But so, we did do it for Buddy.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Yeah. I wasn't on it, but I watched people that
there were a lot who did use it.
Yeah. Speaking of, just quickly back to Million Dollar Quartet. That was a spectacular cast, and so many people say to me, why don't you bring that back? And I was tempted to do it again, but then I thought, you know what, I don't know if I could ever duplicate it. Not that you want to duplicate, but that was a special group of guys.
Theater is alchemy.
Theater
is alchemy.
Yeah.
You got to have those elements come together in the right moment, in the right time. And
And the last thing I'd want to have is people come and go, oh, gee, it wasn't as good as the first time. And I remember one of our box office people went over to see Million Dollar Quartet at the Dutch Apple Theater in Lancaster. And she said how disappointed she was because, oh, my God, it wasn't even... It didn't even seem like the same show, but that we had at Riverside. So sometimes you have to be careful. I mean, if I could get the same people back, sure, but that's not gonna probably happen.
Right? So, wasn't there like fire came out of a piano or something?
Yeah.
That remains one of my favorite moments at Riverside.
I'm really, really proud that we were able to make that happen. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It came out of the piano. It came out of the fire. Came out of the guy playing the piano. Enough said.
Quick break. We're going to come back. Our Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville through March 5th. RiversideDT.com. 370-4300. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts begins today through March the 5th. Patrick Ahern and Robbie Gagneau here. So, Robbie, talk a little bit about the life of a director, because how long have you been here? And I know after these shows get started, you move on.
It's both wonderful and also a little disappointing, because I get to come in and Patrick has assembled this incredible team of people for me to work with. And we get this cast in, we you build this really great working unit, right? And from nothing, it's like this, all of a sudden, this incredible creative army assembles. And it's a blast to put together. You have a ton of fun with these people. And then my job, they get to keep doing the show, right? And unfortunately, I get airlifted out once the battle has begun. Yeah, no, it's really great. It's so much fun to have the opportunity to go to different processes and build different shows and meet new people and try out all this new stuff each time. But once you get the show opened, it's always a little disappointing because you always think like, well, I wish I were here with you to just kind of keep seeing the show live and grow as it breathes. So, it's a blast, but also a little bittersweet, I guess.
Would you check in with Patrick every now and then to say, how's it going?
Or? Oh, I will definitely be sending texts and emails and phone calls to the folks back here in Riverside saying, hey, what's going on? How are audiences going?
Well, what we do is we do reports. Production reports after every – or performance reports. So Robbie will get the performance reports.
Does that happen after every show?
Yeah.
Yep. That's like the kind of the more businessy end. It can be a little clinical. But trust me, like I think I see what you're getting at too, which is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be sending those personal messages too. Like, hey, how do they like that joke? I'm going to totally be leaning into that.
Yeah. But the other thing too that's important, and I talked to Robbie about this, a lot of – theaters or the hierarchy of the theaters feel as though, okay, the guest director comes in, he does his job, and then he's, bye, and they take over. And I, being a director, being a performer, and having respect for the process, I feel as though if I direct something, Robbie directs Margaritaville, that's his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will go through periods of time, especially with a long run of a show, like we do 8-week run, where once the director's gone, the actors will play. And your stage manager, your production stage manager, sort of becomes the director in that respect.
Okay.
They keep it in check. And if there's anything bad or major, they'll come to me. But I still respect the director because that's their show. They were the guide. They were the visionary for the production. And it's important to keep them in. And, if a change has to be made, they need to be in the mix on it. I know myself, that's happened to me before, where I get a call from an actor saying, they changed this, or they changed the bows, or nobody involved me.
So, yeah.
I like it when, now there's some directors that they'd rather be like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
But I don't think Robbie's that type.
No.
And many of the people that we work with at Riverside are not. So it's a respect thing too for the person that comes in and gives it 100% to keep them in the mix of their product to the end.
I never thought of just having a report. I mean, it's kind of like in radio, it's kind of like having an air check.
Absolutely.
Where you're writing things down and this worked, this doesn't, you need to come in a little sooner here, or that kind of thing.
It is exactly like that. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's good because, if I'm not there every night, at least I can check the reports to see if there's anything major, if there's an injury or equipment failure. And then it's good for our scene shop and costume shop, because if there's repairs that need to be done or, sound things, it keeps everything moving and people in tune with if anything needs to be fixed.
Our art form is inherently collaborative. You have to work with other people, and there are people who can do things that I can't. Like, even if I were here all the time, I'm going to need to communicate with my costume person, with my sound person, with my lighting person, my set person, because I don't know how to fix this prop. I don't know how to sew that hem. I love that about theater, that we have we assemble a team and we're all making this thing together.
So how did you get chosen for I should ask Patrick, or how did you fall into this show?
Patrick said he immediately thought of me when he saw the show, and I greatly appreciate that, because I wouldn't have thought of me. But now that I've done the show, I'm like, I am so grateful that he did. It's a ton of fun to do this show.
Well, I mean, not that Million Dollar Quartet is anything like this show, but the similarity of if it the music is front and center, mm-hmm. which you're a musician as well, so you understand that as a director. And I just think you're cool.
I was just going to say that.
Fun-loving guy. Mm-hmm. And I just think that sometimes, you know, I wouldn't hire somebody that, not necessarily that you, I'm sure you could do Eugene O'Neill too, but but somebody that's very staid in drama or...
Yeah.
That's not the kind of person I'm going to put, you know, in that role. So I just said, Robbie's it, you know.
No, as we were sitting here and I thought, and as I'm looking at you, Robbie, I think you're perfect for this. And as you've talked about it, and just, I mean, just even referring to, you know, the cats that are involved in this show, I just think you're perfect for this.
It's a ton of fun. I'm really grateful that that's the vibe that I'm putting out. It is a fun show. So it does have to be a show that, like, does rely very much, like Patrick said, on the music. If you've got to have a really high energy, fun ensemble that's like selling these island tunes to you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not O'Neill, indeed. But it's there is a, I don't want to get too far away from it. It would be easy to just think like, oh yeah, Margaritaville, we're going to go sing Cheeseburger in Paradise. It's going to be great. And yeah, do come sing along with us. The Cheeseburger in Paradise is probably my favorite number in the show, but there's also this really beautiful story too.
Yeah.
So there is drama to this piece. There is a real story to go along too. So it's not just your typical jukebox musical where you roll in and you sing the songs, mm-hmm. and then you go. There's a love story. There's really great relationships between people. I think people will be surprised at the messages that they find in the Jimmy Buffett musical. Pleasantly surprised, as I was.
It kind of sounds like this is going to be the kind of show that you go to, because we all know the songs and have heard the songs. After seeing this show, when you hear those songs, you're going to associate, you're going to associate the show at Riverside.
Our choreographer, Stephanie Wood, is actually a Jimmy Buffett fan. So she noticed this before I did, and she's totally right. The show is built to the music. It could be like, okay, we got a great story. We got Jimmy Buffett songs. Put the two together. That's not really what the book writers did. They really let the story come from these songs.
Hmm.
So the songs that you know, if you're familiar with Jimmy Buffett's music, you'll be really intrigued to see how they put the story of those songs into the story of the musical. And it flows wonderfully.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then when you go back and listen to the music later, if you are not a Jimmy Buffett fan, if this is just your first experience with it, you'll go back and listen to those songs and say, wow, it's a little, yeah, they changed the lyrics here and there, but this is beautiful music too.
It's funny. We have one of our board members, I better not mention his name, but he's outspoken. And he was so mad that I was doing Escape to Margaritaville. He says, I hate Jimmy Buffett. And I can say that he was a local dentist for
years. I know who this is.
And he said, I wouldn't allow them to play Jimmy Buffett music in the office. So I will not be coming. And I teased him. I called him yesterday and I said, are you coming to the dress rehearsal tonight? No, I'm not. I said, Tom. Oh, there you go. I gave it away. I said, I think you need to give it a chance, because it's not, you know, how many times do they sing Margaritaville? I said, they sing it a couple of times, but it's charming. And there's some of these songs that are really beautiful,
yeah.
and storytelling. And I'm hell bent on getting him there. He said, well, my wife is going to come and they're going to use my ticket for somebody else that likes Jimmy Buffett. And I said, I think you need to get in to see the show. And you'll be pleasantly surprised.
The show is for parrot heads. It's also for people who have only ever heard, Jimmy Buffett, the Margaritaville guy. If that's all you know, you are not going to be left out of this, I promise. If you're a big, big, big Jimmy Buffett fan, you're also going to have a ton of fun.
Yeah, because I don't know the story or anything. I've just wrote, there's a little synopsis online, and I just thought,
yeah, it's one of those things where you're probably better off just coming in.
Just come and go to the show.
Absolutely.
It's like a day at the beach. It's like when you get lost somewhere on a vacation, and you have a little fun and the things happen along the way. That's exactly what this is. So you should come in totally like, I'm not sure what this is going to be. And
that's how I was with Ghost.
Yeah.
I've since seen the movie, but mm-hmm. I hadn't. And I just came and I just thought, I'm probably not going to have a good time, but you can't, you can't have a 100% shows. Yeah. And I left and that's one of my favorites.
Yep.
So you can't just walk in and.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even have a bad attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
And be blown
this
away.
One, probably, if you have a bad attitude, you can certainly be flipped. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's a doc.
And there's a doc.
A doc on the stage.
Yeah, and a volcano.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So yeah. Again, it's the Riverside sets.
Yeah.
You never cease to amaze me.
Well, we just got to keep it going.
This is what I love about making theater.
Yeah.
You know, you can surprise people with this stuff.
Yep, yeah.
We've got a dock. We've got a volcano. We also end up on a plane and on a boat, and we travel to Ohio. How do we do that? Come and find out.
No, it's like it was Camelot last year. We had the big storm around this time last year, and you had some you used some branches that had fallen in your yard for the set on
Wasn't
Camelot.
That beautiful? I'll tell you this. I'll tell you all about Camelot at breakfast. But we had the cherry blossoms, and I'll explain why. And I had a tree that came. A section of my tree in my backyard fell during this terrible storm, and they hadn't gotten around to picking it up. You know, the neighborhood, whoever comes from picking up debris and stuff. And I happened to mention to our technical director, I said, you know, I've got this big section of the tree. Do you think you guys could use this? And he said, well, let me come and take a look. And, oh, my God, yeah. And we'll pick it up with the box truck.
Yeah.
And they dried it, and they did. And then Riley, who is a terrific guy,
mm-hmm.
He made all the blossoms and sewed them on or whatever. And it looked.
Oh, it did.
It was gorgeous.
It was cherry blossoms. Yeah.
Yeah,
most people just take their tree limbs to the trash. Patrick looks at it and says, "Hey, you know, maybe we can use this."
You never know what you're gonna, you know, what you're gonna have. So.
This is the creativity of the artist.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Yep.
RiversideDT.com. RiversideDT.com. You can get tickets that way. You can call 370-4300. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Escape to Margaritaville through March the 5th. Patrick Ahern and Robbie Gagneau here from Riverside. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning and Escape to Margaritaville through March 5th, riversidedt.com. Hop online, get tickets. Don't wait, Patrick, because just as... What a great time of year to have this show, and especially if it's... If we, with any kind of winter temperatures, just to come on into the inside look at the dock.
Yeah, I've told everybody, you know, forget about that, what they call winter. And I forbid anybody from using the S word, and I'm not talking about the SH one. I'm talking about the SN one.
That's what I thought.
Matter of fact, they started using it last week, and I said, no. And just come in and you're really transported. That's what we aim to do, and I think the minute you walk into the theater and see the dock, you'll feel transported, and the lighting does it as well. I mean, beautiful lighting by Weston Corey, I can tell by the sales for this week, because generally in January, as we're just rolling along, we're coming out of Christmas, the numbers can be a little bit lighter,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
but. We're in a good situation for this opening week, which only tells me that once the word of mouth gets out and all the media gets out there, the place will be packed because people are going to like the show. And I think it'll be a repeat business show because people are going to have such a good time and they're going to love the margaritas, and we're going to have the margaritas flowing through the show as well. So we had a meeting the other day and we figured out how to do that. So I think it's going to be something that, you know, that kind of friendly bar that you like to go to. Well,
yeah.
Riverside's going to be that place, Margaritaville, for January and February.
You have not let anything get by you on this show.
No. So, yeah.
Well, and don't wait, because I always remember with Greece, and you kept telling me, get your tickets. And I waited until literally the last weekend, and I sat, because of that, I sat in the very last row. The very last row. And that's what you said to me. Don't complain to me about your seat.
Don't like Greece. I've never liked it.
See, I wasn't a big fan either, and that's kind of why. But then everybody kept talking about it, and I thought, well, I had to go see it.
The audiences love it, and it's not about me. If I picked everything that I liked, you know, I want to please our audience. So I think Escape to Margaritaville is going to be an audience pleaser. Yeah. If you like Grease, if you like Million Dollar Quartet, if you like Buddy Holly, if you like Mamma Mia, you're going to love Margaritaville.
So, Robbie Gagne, who's directing this, after they airlift you out today from this show, which is just the visual of thinking that's because Patrick would do that. What's next for you after you've been? How long have you been here? Since middle of December or something like that?
Yeah, we came and we started rehearsals a week or two before Christmas. We had a break for the holidays. We came back. And we've been working since the week between Christmas and New Year's. And, yeah, it's, you know, rehearsal processes can be kind of quick. So I think 3.5 to 4 weeks total.
Yeah.
We're working with the cast, and that's that. As for what's next for me, you know, a completely different work. I'm going back to Shakespeare, actually. I work with a school in New York, so going back and working with them on a production of Richard II, as well as I do a lot of sound work as well, which is part of why, you know, doing the rock musical thing is a lot of fun for me and right in my wheelhouse. I'm doing a lot of sound design, so I have a few different sound works with, like, you know, original works that I'm helping to create back in New York, and some more podcasts. Yeah, just it's always, you know, what's next, finding the next gig is what we're always trying to figure out as itinerant artists. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm going back to now.
So Robbie Patrick goes from Margaritaville to Shakespeare. You're making a pretty big jump too when you go from, as far as shows go, you go from Margaritaville to Ragtime.
Yeah.
In March.
Yeah, lots of history.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to Ragtime. It's you know, Riverside did it back in 2005, I believe. So it's been 17 years. But I think it's timely for that show right now.
Yeah.
And the music is glorious. It's history. I think it's sort of epic. It's great for the 25th anniversary. We're going to have a wonderful cast, and it's something I've never directed before. So I'm looking forward to putting my own spin on it, so to speak. And talking about spin, we're going to do the show on a turntable. So
nice.
Yeah. So
really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Where do you get something like that?
The turntable?
Yeah.
We're building it.
Okay.
We had it for
Bright Star. Remember, we did the turntable. But that turntable, there was some glitches in the build of that. So we had to get rid of it.
Okay.
So we're building something actually pretty neat. We're building a proper turntable that will be able to reduce in size or go to a full, I think, 24 feet in diameter. Yeah. I think it's going to be great for the show. For Ragtime.
Yeah.
Again, you know, you can utilize the turntable for movement of time and location and it's a cool effect.
You used something that the first time I remember Riverside doing it, and I don't know if it was a turntable, but you used something like that at, when you did Les Mis.
Turntable.
Was that a turntable?
Well, that was the original staging. That wasn't my idea. That that was something that I worked on for 3.5 years every day. But but I got permission to do that because, you know, ironically, when we did Les Mis in 2013, it was different. A new production had been done in London in 2010 with two different directors. So the original staging on the turntable was no longer. They did projections for the 2010 and all the Les Mis's going forward.
Okay.
So I had to reach out to Trevor Nunn to say, can I please do the original staging? Because, you know, that's what I learned from you. And he said, absolutely. So so that's what happened when we did we did Les Mis. I didn't know it any other way. And I don't think it works any other way. I just worked so beautifully on the turntable. The projections didn't do it for me when I saw that version.
It's interesting. I have noticed in recent shows, and whether it's a turntable or different kinds of effects, it's interesting how things evolve in theater, and just how scene changes just seem to be a lot different than they were even 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, I'm a big proponent of less is more, and you know I would rather go with something, an outstanding one-unit set where you enhance it or you add things or remove things than to have a bunch of long, clunky scene changes. I just, I've never been a fan of that.
But it was like kind of like a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, really, was that one.
One unit.
Yeah. Just that.
Yeah. And we remember Bright Star, how we got to several different locales, but we basically were on that one set that moved around and it was terrific. So we're doing Ragtime. Actually, the design is a sort of a replication of the museum at Ellis Island. So it's going to be a two-level set that is what it looks like in that museum, with the big, huge, it's not really a gazeboed window, but a big, huge arched window that's what the museum has in it. And then in the distance, you look out the window and you see the Statue of Liberty. And so both the set designer and myself, when we were doing our research and looking at things, we both saw the same picture. And I didn't say a word to him. I just told him. He asked me to give him some adjectives of what I thought when I thought of Ragtime, and I did. And then he comes to me with a sketch, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the first thing I saw was the Statue of Liberty. In the background, I knew that it was a window, and I said, I emailed him, and I said, look at this. So it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah. And the turntable will sit in the center of the stage, because you're dealing in Ragtime with three different, you've got your immigrants, and then you've got the black folk from the Ragtime era, and then you've got your upper crust, Caucasian family in New Rochelle, New York. So I just think it's just that opening with all the different connections of the different families and seeing the movement of it, you know, going around. It'll be pretty cool. Yeah.
So, Rob, you mentioned that with Margaritaville, which will be at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through March the 5th, that you've got a volcano, among other things.
Yeah, so I love that Patrick just alluded to the idea of less being more. And I think there's also, it's easy to hear less is more and think, oh, they're just doing something simple. It's like, actually, you can get really creative when you think about how, instead of, all right, we fly out this set and then we put in this set, or we had to move big pieces on stage, off stage. Nah, we don't do that. But like we go different places, we see different modes of transportation, and we do it with bodies, we do it with small props, and you can get really creative to tell that story And I'm really proud of what we came up with in this show. Yeah. Some small, simple moves to say, okay, now we are in this location. And how do we do that? Sound, lights, props, actors. That's the magic of theater. We don't need a ton of not to discount any set designers, because they're magicians in and of themselves, but we can use that platform that they gave us to tell a story, to take you in different places and different times. And to me, you might be able to tell from how my voice changed there. Like, that gets me excited about being a director. That's why I love to do this.
You know, Broadway has gotten to a point where it's a little over the top, you know, especially from an expense-wise, because look at ticket prices. You know, it's like only a select few can go to the theater anymore, especially if you've got a family. I mean, you're looking at spending over $1,000 to take your family to see The Lion King, you know? And I mean, I grew up coming into the theater when you left something to the imagination. You didn't have to make the helicopter a real helicopter.
Yeah, you used the sound effect.
You used the sound effect. You used the, you know, lighting. You used the cast. And so... Yeah, I'm glad we agree with that. But to me, less is more. And it doesn't mean that, oh, well, they're going to use a sheet and a chair. But, I mean, you get a gorgeous, you know, set.
Yeah.
One unit and then make a lot of stuff happen on it. And I just think it's more creative that way. And the things that I've been reading in my research with Ragtime is they had done a recent production at Bay Street Theater out in the Hamptons. Bay Street's pretty reputable place right now. And the reviewers that came from the New York Times or whatever, they all remarked on how much better the show works as a more intimate than, you know, when Ragtime was first done on Broadway back in the... what was it, the mid-90s, the late-90s, it was huge with a cast of 40. And, I mean, talk about sets. But sometimes your set can dwarf the intimacy of what's really the story that's being told.
Yeah.
And if you just bring it all in and let the performers do the work, then you don't need all the bells and whistles to distract from, well, there's not much here, you know, because that's what ends up happening with a lot of these shows. You know, I always talk about the Phantom of the Opera that I did. People say, which was your favorite? Because you had done Les Mis and Phantom. And I said, there's no question Les Mis, because you can do Les Mis in a bare studio with a bunch of boxes and chairs and people will cry. But you take all the orchestrations and the draperies and the chandelier and all of that stuff out of the Phantom of the Opera. God, I'm going to get myself in trouble. There's not much there. There's not much there. But yet everybody loves it.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes some of these shows give you all the flash because, well, there's not much there on the page. So... anyway, that's my opinion. I don't think, not everybody agrees with me.
I can see the headline, Patrick Ahern, Phantom, not much there.
Yeah. Oh, please don't. Oh, God. Yeah.
Good stuff. Patrick Ahern and Ravi Gagno here. Escape to Margaritaville through March the 5th at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, 370-4300 if you want to call the ticket office, or riversidedt.com. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Escape to Margaritaville at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through March the 5th. RiversideDT.com, 370-4300. Robbie Gagneau, the director, and Patrick Ahern, the producing artistic director at Riverside here. So, Robbie, I guess, should I wear like a Hawaiian shirt to this? Is that appropriate?
That is encouraged. It's okay. Not necessary, but it is highly encouraged. Absolutely.
Okay. I have noticed since COVID, and I think even with myself, I used to get all dressed up to go to Riverside, and some people are too casual, I think.
Well, I got called out by one of our board members when I started going a little more cash, because during COVID, people said, we like you more cash.
Yeah, I like you more.
You've got that suit and tie
cash,
thing.
Cash, yeah, too much.
And then I got called out by one of our board members who said, what are you doing? Where's your tie? And I said, well, and she says, no, it's disrespectful.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm not wearing any suit and tie on the dock.
No.
Let me tell you right now.
If you're building a dock at Riverside.
So I'm going to get my own Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I was hoping Kaino would outfit you in a nice Hawaiian shirt.
I'm not wearing the suit and tie. One thing I do want to mention, because talk about talent on the stage for this show. The cast is terrific. The voices are amazing. Our two leads, Jake David Smith, who's playing Tully, has done this role before at pretty big theater. He's been on Broadway in Frozen, and he has a sensational voice. He has a great charm and personality on stage, and he's joined by his real-life partner, Juliet Redden, who has just the smoothest voice. She's just delightful, and she is a lovely actor. And the two of them, you don't get better chemistry than two real life people, you know. So see it for that. And Jake is a Richmond native. So we're really lucky to have the two of them here. And then we have Gabby Gutierrez, who was in the Christmas show. Terrific voice playing Tammy. And Brendan Hale from New York playing Brick. And Your buddy, Alan Hoffman.
Love Alan.
Alan's in there, and Ian Lane's in there.
Oh, I love Ian.
Stephanie Wood, our great choreographer and dancer. And Sally Rail. And we've got Jarrett Bloom. We've got another great girl, brand new to us, Thea Simpson, in the show. She's wonderful. Carter Crosby, who was in Ghost, and Grace McNamee, who was in Ghost, and she was in the Christmas show. It's really a terrific group of people. Kentrella's Kennedy. Who is playing Marley, and Wilson Pizzuto, who is just... You know, he's been in the ensemble for some shows, but this show, he really comes to the front. I mean, he's really terrific.
He's got some great comedy moments.
Yeah. Did I miss anybody? Because everybody is... I think I did.
Running through as well.
Yeah, I think I did.
Nobody has notes here, and that was pretty impressive.
The blend that, you know, the great Carson Eubank, our music director, the orchestra is terrific. The blend of the vocals in the show is beautiful. There are some great songs that you wouldn't even think you'd kind of get a tear in your eye from, you know.
No lie. He is not exaggerating. We were in a rehearsal and he went to Paris.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, we need to stop for a sec because I just need to, this is, wow. Yeah. There's some gorgeous, gorgeous music and they're killing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to come out and see this great group of people on stage.
RiversideDT.com, 370-4300. Escape to Margaritaville through March the 5th. Robbie Gagneau. Robbie, it's great to see you again and have
you
here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can't wait to come and see the show.
Enjoy the show. Have a drink or a glass of water, whatever you like, and just have a blast. We want you to come and have fun and escape the whatever winter, I won't say the word, Patrick, but whatever winter effects are outside.
The winter.
Come to the island in the theater.
Just before we close, I want to mention our great crew for the show.
Heck yeah.
The creative team has been outstanding. Christian Fleming has done, he's the man that came up with the doc and the whole thing. So, creative team, everybody great. You come and celebrate Margaritaville.
Thanks for coming, both of you. See you soon.
Thanks so much.
Having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.